Being in the will of God. It's a safe, blessed assurance place. How to, message number three. We're in the third message of how to, and we're gonna look here in Luke chapter 18. Many people, my message today is going to be on how to get the Lord's attention. How to get the Lord's attention. Many people call you for many reasons. Many people talk to you. Many people say things to you, and so we have, but a lot of them don't have your attention. You get a solicitor, you might not pay much attention. You might have somebody call your name, and you just don't listen to that person in particular. And then there's some voices that get your attention. You might hear a baby cry, and it might not mean anything to you, but you hear your baby cry, and you perk up, and you know because it's your child. And we want to be able to be the people who get God's attention. I'm going to spend pretty much all our time in the book of Luke, and most of it in chapter 18 here, and just focus in a few verses in Luke 18 about how to get God's attention. There's other ways in the Bible, but there's a lot in the Bible we got to keep working through it. There's so much in there. It's so rich. So we'll focus on getting the Lord's attention mostly in Luke and mostly in the book of Luke, and then a lot in Luke 18 here. In Luke 18, verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." The word faint there means quit, lose heart. "Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because his widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. Let's ask that God to speak to our hearts through the scripture today. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you that you teach us what we need to know, Father. Jesus speaks these words in a very clear way. Sometimes we don't quite grasp the way you do things, but we know what you do and what you tell us to do, Father. And we ask that you'd help us now. Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing. And we know with you, we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. And Lord, I claim those promises. I claim Luke 11:13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And Lord, I believe I'm preaching what you have for us today, and I ask your Holy Spirit would please empower the message, give me the exact words in every part of the message, and help us individually to be spoken to and to have ears to hear and to respond to what the Word of God says. In Jesus' name, amen. The story Jesus tells us about how to pray and not quit praying. And he tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to quit, not to get discouraged. And we are so far beyond the prayer warrior generation. We've lost that prayer. There's a lot of playing, but not much praying today. And many Christians, you talk to them, they'll freely admit to you, "I don't have much of a prayer life. I don't pray much. It's too hard. I'm too busy. I can't seem to get it done. I can't seem to, it's just too hard." I want you to understand, there's several things. The devil is smart. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. And if he's going to fight things, if I were the devil, I'd fight prayer. It's going to be very hard for you to read your Bible and very hard for you to pray. Because if you don't do those things, you're going to be weak. And if you don't pray, God's not going to work. God works through prayer. And you will find that you will find everything else in the world to do except for pray. But I find you'll find out in life that you might not have any time to pray because you don't pray. I think of a child one time was telling me, it was a snowstorm, and he said, "You know, it was so slippery in my driveway that my mom was driving, and the speedometer said 85, and we still weren't moving." And I thought, that's a Seattle driver in the snow, and first of all. I thought, secondly, you know, if you'd let your foot off the gas and take a minute to shove a little snow or to try starting off slowly, you might be able to get somewhere. And many times you find your life is spinning wheels. Your finances are messed up. Your relationships are messed up. You don't have time to get the things done you need to get done because you're spinning your wheels because you're not praying. If you'd switch your life around and discipline your life to pray, you'd find God's speed and God's blessing upon your life, and things would work a lot better. You wouldn't have to put out all the fires if you'd pray enough that fires wouldn't start all the time in your life. I refuse to believe you don't have time to pray. If you don't have time to pray, then you better cut something back. But we don't. Christians don't pray. Christians don't walk with God. Christians don't know what it means to go in a prayer closet. They just don't do it. It's lost. And no wonder America, not America, is in such bad shape. No wonder the churches in America are in such bad shape. They're fighting in a spiritual war without having the spiritual weapon of prayer. And by the way, prayer is mentioned in the armor of God. People separate the passage in Ephesians 6, and they think it ends with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and they stop and say, that's the armor of God. It is not. The next verse says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It continues on to say prayer. Where are we going to be if we don't get God's attention? And God says men ought always to pray and not to quit praying. Would you say, I am a prayer and God knows I pray and I don't quit? Because he says men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he illustrates it with a story that to this day, it seems like it's inappropriate as a story of prayer. But it isn't, because as you said before, if I don't see it the way God sees it, I'm wrong. And God's right. And God says in this story of prayer, he tells the story of a woman who has something. She's been ripped off somehow. She has an adversary who's stolen or taken or taken advantage of her, and it's a legal matter, and she wants a judge to fix it, and the judge just won't give her time of day. And she gets angry. And she goes to the judge, and she bothers him. I mean, he gets up in the morning, and she's knocking on his door. He says, woman, I'm not even at court yet. Leave me alone. Go to the courthouse and meet me there and see if you can get through the line, and I'll talk to you there. And for some reason, he doesn't hear her story, and he doesn't fix the thing. And she goes back, and he gets out, and when he's getting ready to go back to his house, she's standing there, says, I told you I need this thing fixed. And he says, woman, I already told you I'm not going to rule in your favor. Well, then I'm going to drive you crazy. And she follows me home and is in his ear all the way home. And I'm telling you, this guy ripped me off and he did this and I don't have any protection. My husband's gone. I don't have anybody to take care of me. I'm going to be starving. You're going to have to fix this thing. You're going to have to avenge me of my adversary. Woman, I'm done. Clunk. Next morning. On the way to work. Hey, I need to talk to you. I already talked to you. Don't bother me. And it says day and night, this woman bothers him. Day and night bothers him. And she's almost obnoxious with him and will not stop and will not stop and will not stop and will not stop. And finally says, all right, you're going to drive me crazy. Here's the judgment. Go take this. And bring the guy here. We'll make him pay you the money and fix it all. And it's done. Just leave me alone, woman. And then Jesus says, that's how I want you to pray. Now to me, that's not how I think of our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's prayer too. But Jesus is saying, I want you to teach you to pray and not quit praying. And he teaches us on this story how powerful it is. And then he tells us here, and it's interesting, I never noticed this before, but he says in verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith. Jesus, I want you to hear what the judge said. Because that's what God is thinking here. So what does the judge say? Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he setteth in himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And God says, hear what she said. Wait, did you hear what the judge said? And then he says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, though he bear long with them, which cry day and night unto him? It should go without saying you need to pray. James 4:4, ye have not because ye ask not. But because we don't make the time, we don't make the discipline, we do not decide to do it, we do not give God the good time, we just try to fit it in. We don't pray, we don't get God's attention. And so God is sitting up in heaven saying, I sure would like to do a bunch of big things. You sure need me, but I work through prayer. And I will not give in and say, well, we're just a busy society with too many things. Listen, unplug, go turn off your main breaker at your house, and you have time to pray. Don't tell me you don't have time to pray if you have a TV on at all. If you surf the net, if you're on the computer and checking your email and doing Facebook and playing video games, don't tell me you don't have time to pray. You have time to pray. You don't have life. Life is too important for you not to pray. And man ought always to pray and not to faint. But not only pray, but get God's attention. And this parable, he says, let me teach you how to pray and not quit. Because eventually God says, you're going to have my attention when you do this. And you're going to have my attention. Here the Lord tells us a way to get his attention. And just a few thoughts here. First of all, in order to get the Lord's attention, you need to have persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? God says, I will answer your prayer. However, I may listen to you for a long time. I don't know why, God. I think it's because we wouldn't pray much if we didn't have needs. I think it's because we wouldn't continue to pray and not faint. But for some reason, God says, sometimes you're going to pray, and I'm just going to say, I heard you. I got other things to do. I'm running the universe. Let me see if it's important to you. Let's see if you keep praying. Though he bear long with them, that means he puts up with them for a long time. You know why most Christians don't? If you read like I do, I read a lot of stuff that's older. I don't read any theology books that's written in the last 50 years, nothing. I don't read any, there's too much worldliness in it and too much secular thinking. You read older books, you read older biographies, you read about Praying Hyde, and you read about George Mueller, you read about David Livingston, and you read about real people who know how to pray. It was expected to get their prayers answered. It was expected for God to do big things. They went into these things believing God, and they had page after page after page of answered prayer because they really knew how to pray. And now we're slick. We've got all the media stuff, and churches have got all the fluff, and they've got all the fancy things, and everybody's looking for a new method, but nobody wants to get back to praying. That's why they have big crowds but not big Christians. And unless we can really get back to praying and saying, I've got to find a way to get a hold of God, you know why we don't care if we get a hold of God? The honest truth is because you aren't doing anything big in your life to need God. You don't need God to play your video game. You don't need God to go to work. You don't need God for your boats. You don't need God to go fishing. You don't need God, and you do need God for everything, because without him you can do nothing. He's given you the air you breathe. But you're not trying to do anything supernatural. You're not trying to see revival or win the world to Christ or see that person who's astray come back to God. We live a shallow life with no great lofty things we're attempting. And as one person said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. But because we don't need God, we aren't trying to see that soul saved. We're not trying to see America have revival. We're not trying to see a church that has the power of God. And we're not trying to see great things. We don't really need God that bad. You're not really trying to raise an incredible child. You're just trying to keep your kid out of trouble. As long as you and your wife aren't fighting, everything's fine. But you're not trying to make a marriage that's going to shake the gates of hell with the presence of God in that home. That's going to make a difference. We are not trying to do great things, so we don't even really need to know how to really pray, because God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust, the Bible says. You're going to have food in America. You're not really begging God for food like the Haitians are. You're going to have air. And you know what? You don't have to have insurance, and if you have an emergency, you're going to go to a good hospital that can take good care of you. And praise God for all those things. But I don't think we see that you do have a great need for God. God has big, great things for you to do. But since we don't get the vision of God to do great things, we stay in. And that's why churches used to have prayer meetings. And now churches, well, they have Starbucks in church. And they have all kinds of great things. And they have a praise band, but they don't have a prayer meeting. That's uncomfortable. And that takes a long time sometimes. Sometimes it runs over on schedule. And what are we going to do? Because we aren't trying to do any great thing. He says, I will answer. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Shall not God avenge his own elect? Ye have not because ye ask not, which cry day and night at him, asking you. I mean, how many promises does God need to give us? Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, him that knocketh it shall be open unto him. The Bible says prayer promises everywhere. Romans 8, but he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If he gave you his son, why wouldn't he want to answer your prayer? He's for you. God wants to answer prayer. He wants to do this, but we do not pray with any passion that gets God's attention. As I said last week, we are the teacher on peanuts. Wah, 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 wah. I mean, you pray and say, okay, God, bless this and bless this, and Lord, I'm kind of tired, and help me have a good day, and amen. And God says, that's not that important to you. Can you imagine if you approached the rest of things in life the way you approached our prayer lives? Imagine trying to woo a woman. Say, you know, if you want to marry me, that'd be great. And I'm pretty busy. How would that go over? Can you imagine applying for a job? So, why do you want this job? Well, you know, I'd like to have it. And, you know, I'm kind of busy, though. I got a lot going on. Okay. Do I get the job or not? I want the job. Do you think he's going to say, that person really is going to be a good employee? That person cares. That man cares about her. See, it doesn't work in anything. Why would it work in prayer? Why would the average Christian who never even goes aside to pray and enters into the closet and shuts his door, who never even goes aside to private prayer time, God says, you're not even serious enough about it to even turn the radio all the way off when you're talking to me. I mean, and let alone do nothing and just pray and walk with me. I don't think it's what you're asking for is very important to you. We got to have a persistent prayer. We don't quit. He may make you continue in prayer. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? There are prayers that are not going to answer, even if you pray passionately in the first week or month or years. Hey, some of the greatest people ever, George Mueller, was one of the greatest men of prayer. And he said, I prayed 52 years for the same man to be saved. And God never answered that prayer. He wrote when he died. And the man got saved at his funeral. But he prayed every day, I said. I prayed every day 52 years. And somehow this prayer has never got answered. George Mueller. God is going to answer. God heard the prayer. God is going to answer it. But sometimes he wants us to keep on praying about something. If my child pops on my lap and says, Dad, you are the most wonderful dad in the world. Bricky, come on up here. All right. Tell me, am I the most wonderful dad in the world?
Yes.
What would you like? Do you want anything?
Yeah.
What would you like?
Money?
Money, okay. Part of parenting. Anything else?
No.
I can start. She's not thinking right now. This is good. That's right. She wants ice cream?
Yeah.
What else? Let's see. A horse?
Yeah.
Let's see. A whole bunch of things. But you know, you haven't asked enough. And you're not snuggled enough, I don't think, either. So I don't think you're going to get it. Maybe you get a toy horse. Maybe. You already got one of those, though. But you know, if she started asking me, if she plopped in my lap and said, Dad, you're the best dad in the whole world. You can be seated. And she, did that embarrass you? Okay. And I said, where's one of my other kids? I get any other ones to embarrass in here? Okay. And they're all, and she sat there and said, I love you so much, Dad. And she just hammed me up. I'd like that. And she says, I would really like a horse. I might say, well, tell me more about that because I'm enjoying the snuggle. What kind of horse? I like her being with me. I like her spending time with me and talking to me. I like it when she really wants something. I like when someone's passionate about something. I like when somebody really wants something. I really want to marry you. Do you want to marry me or not? I got something to do here. And the woman does not think the man really wants it very bad. And she says, well, I'm busy too. Go take a hike. Because she doesn't think he cares. And God says, I'm going to make you come, and I'm going to make you pray about it. And then I'm going to bear along with you. And the unjust judge says, I'm not going to do it. 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 And the prayer prays and says, God, I need you to do this thing. I need you to save my child, Lord. God says, nothing. What do I do? Keep praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, then I'm praying for that relative, and we're worse than they were before. Keep on praying. Lord, I'm praying for a revival in Seattle and for Seattle to see the power of God and see souls saved and see light come to this area. But Lord, it's not happening. Keep praying. I like you snuggling up to me. I want to spend some time with you. I want you to beg. I want you to keep on coming. I want you to talk for months and months and months and months and months and months and months. I want you to talk for me for a few years about it. Because you know what? If I answer it now, you're just going to say, thanks, okay. But when it happens and I do that big thing, you're going to really give me some glory. You're going to really appreciate it. I want to see if you want me to work in that way that bad. I'm going to make you wait. When it comes, it happens quickly. That's the strange thing about this. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What's the phrase before that? Though he bear long with them. I tell you, he'll avenge them speedily. He says, I'm going to wait and wait and wait. My answer is not hard to do. It's not hard for me to just go, done. And it'll happen. When it's done, you'll say, whoa, Lord, I didn't think that was ever going to happen. That was awesome. It's going to happen real quick, real powerfully. God says, I'm just waiting until the right time. I'm going to make sure you keep on praying about it. But we quit in prayer. We do not keep on praying. We give up. We forget. We don't have a prayer list that we have everything written on. And so we go out and then we forget about it and we don't pray anymore. And we don't remember to keep on praying for that thing that we bear along with them. First of all, persistent prayer continues to pray when the answer isn't there, but when you just got to have it. Hannah prayed year after years after year for a child, and then God finally did it. And she appreciated it and gave the glory to God and gave it to God. Number one, if you want to get God's attention, pray persistently. Secondly, you want to get God's attention, pray passionately. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them. You notice it says cry. Cry. Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's a crazy thing. We'll cry about a TV show, and we'll cry about an emotional thing we see in a movie, yet we don't cry for souls. We don't cry for family. I mean weep. They that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. Crying. That's a passionate prayer. That's a prayer that cares. That's a tear in the eye while you're weeping to God. You say, I'm not an emotional person. You know what? It's not my nature either. But you know what? You'll cry over something. And you got to get a broken enough heart. John R. Rice was a man who, when he used to pray, the great evangelist, he used to weep so much when he prayed, he felt like he couldn't preach. And he would weep and weep and talk the whole time, and he felt like he was just blubbering his whole sermon this whole time. And finally he said, God, I'm embarrassing myself. I ask you to make it so I stop crying while I preach. And he said, God, answer my prayer. And I quit crying when I preached, and people quit getting saved, and God quit speaking. And finally, I went back to God one day and I said, God, I'm tired of being a dry preacher. Give me my tears back. And he got his tears back because he felt and loved and cared. Hey, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. You got to have a passionate prayer that really cares. Hannah wept so much that they thought she was drunk when she was praying. She cried. She cared. She prayed with passion and she got the answer from God and changed a nation. One woman changed a nation. You see, the Lord has given you his heart for something, so you will cry to him. See, here's the thing about it is you think, boy, I don't know why I care so much about that kid in the neighborhood. I don't know why I care so much about those teenagers. I don't know why I care so much about that one relative. Because God needed someone to pray, and he put his heart of love for someone in you. That's your job. Some people, it's a nation. Some people it's a city. Some people it's a church. Some people it's an individual. Some people it's a family. And God all of a sudden just goes up to you and says, hurt for that person. And you just get a broken heart and you begin to feel so deeply. You come to God and say, God, you got to do something. It's killing me. God says, that's my heart for them too. It killed me. And I want to reach them. And I want them changed. But I work through prayer. So I've given you this heart. And I need you to pray about it because I'll do it when you pray. But I've got to have you have a heart for this thing. I've got to have you love like I love and feel like I feel. Hannah, I need your heart broken for a boy. Because I need a very special boy that's lent to the Lord. That's going to be a man who changed the nation. And we got to get that passion in prayer. God has given you this heart. David Brainerd was a great evangelist to the Indians, American Indians, in colonial days. And he would ride out of New England and go out into the forest. And he'd just ride around and he would go witness the Indians and try to win them to Christ. And David Brainerd was a man with a broken heart for these Indians. He loved them. He had a broken heart for them. And he would get so burdened as he was on his horse. He'd be riding through the forest. He would literally just fall off his horse into the snow. And he began to pray for the Indians and his broken heart for them to be reached. And he begged God so passionately for so long, he'd write, I fell into the snow off my horse. When I woke up, there was no snow around me for 2 feet. On his face, broken heart, begging God for the Indians, melting the snow around him. See, when you really get the heart of God, the excuses for not praying sound pretty petty. David Brainerd was not comfortable in the snow. He died at 29 years old of pneumonia. But by the way, he had revival among the Indians. His only translator, the only person he could find who could speak all the different dialects, was one Indian, and he was an alcoholic and would never be sober. That's all he had, and he had to beg God, God, speak to this translator. Lord, it's all I have. He's the only one who speaks these languages. And God spoke to that translator because he begged God because he loved those Indians so much because he prayed with passion and wept before God and laid in his face before God because he loved enough to pray passionately. Do you not love something and have a heart for something enough to really weep and get alone and pray and beg and keep on crying and keep on praying with passion until it happens? If you don't, you need to get around the presence of God because the heart of God rubs off on you when you're around him. And you'll begin to love. And you'll begin to care enough to really pray. And all of a sudden, Christianity is not this cute little game. It's the passion of your life. And praying is not something you wish you had time to do. It's something you have to do because there's something so big that needs done. Because your heart is broken, and because God needs to do something, and you're the person that God put it on their heart. Non-passionate persuasion never works with anything. If I watch sports, I hate an athlete who doesn't care. You ever watch an athlete who doesn't care if they win or lose? On your team? You hate him. I remember when Vin Baker used to play for the Sonics. I thought, I could do better than that guy. And he's 7 foot tall. He doesn't care. And you see somebody doesn't try their hardest, and you get mad and angry, saying, don't you care? This is important. It's a game. What are you doing? And the same guy who says, Pastor, I'm just not a passionate person. Okay, let me watch you during a football game. You idiot! That official, I paid him off! This is ridiculous! Where's the dog? And this is ridiculous. I can't take this. Where's some... Pastor, I'm just not the kind of person who expresses emotion. I can't really pray like that. Okay? Maybe you care about something differently. If the Mariners win the World Series this year, boy, you talk about a miracle. I don't think you have a problem getting excited. Do we have the passion to really pray with passion? Do we really do that? John Wesley was asked one time, he said, what do you do about people sleeping in church? And John Wesley said, wake the preacher up. And if somebody, I would hate for somebody to come to church and think I'm just up here saying, you know, God's really nice and God's... No, there's something important out there. Amen. There is a lost and dying world without Christ. Amen. There's broken lives all out here. People whose lives are destroyed and hurting and broken. I mean, somebody's got to care enough to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to care enough. Somebody's got to get their passion into it. And John Wesley used to say, the person who said that, said, I light myself on fire and people come to watch me burn. And when you really care about the things of God and really pray passionately, God says, whoa, I'm hearing a bunch of praying, but none of it's that. They care. They're serious about this thing. They're not playing games. What'd they say? That's how Jesus says to pray. Let me tell you how to pray and not faint. Let me tell you the story of the unjust judge and the widow who wouldn't quit being persistent. Third thing, if you want to really get God's attention, is first, you have persistent prayer. Secondly, you pray passionately. And thirdly, in this passage, we see you have faith in God. You have great faith. Verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Notice that towards the end, the faith is, he might not find it anymore. Does anybody believe that I'll answer the prayer? Does anybody believe that I'm still in charge? Does anybody believe I'm still God? Is anybody willing to step out and say, God, I'm going to pray to you do this thing, Lord, and I'm praying, and I'm praying with passion, and I believe, God, you're going to do this. I'm going to keep on praying. I believe you're going to answer prayer, and I think you have the ability to do it, and I believe you're like that judge. A judge could do this thing if he wanted to, and God, you can do this thing. But when he comes, will he really find faith? See, a lot of Christians don't believe when they pray anymore. And I'm not talking about the doctrinal position. The doctrinal position is God is omnipotent and omniscient and I'm this and I'm that. But, I mean, when you pray, do you think God's going to answer? Doctrine doesn't mean a whole bunch if it doesn't come down to practice. Do you believe that God can do these things? Earlier in this book, a story that is wonderful to me is Luke chapter 7. The centurion. In verse 2, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard Jesus, he sent unto him the elders and the Jews, beseeching him that he would, besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went to them and said, when he was far off, this is Luke 7, 6. When he was not far off from the house, the centurion sent friends before him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy if thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say the word, and thy servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and say to another, come, and he cometh, and to thy servant do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. Bunch of things in this story about the faith. But first of all, notice this guy didn't even think he was worthy for Jesus to be under his roof. And I want to just say for a moment, it's not the worthiness that Jesus was looking for. But this man says, you know what? I understand authority. If I say to somebody to do something, they'll do it. And if I say, if somebody tells me to do something, I'll do it. I understand authority. You are God. You have all authority. All power is given unto you in heaven and in earth. Just say the words, it's done. You don't need to come here. And an amazing phrase happens here that's beautiful. It says, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. How would you like Jesus to marvel at you? That amazing phrase. Jesus walking towards a house. This guy called him healing. Jesus is walking there, and all of a sudden a messenger comes up and says, he says he understands authority. He's not worthy to be under the house. Just say the word and it'll happen. He's not even worried about it. Just speak the word. He knows you have the authority. And Jesus says, I have not seen such great faith, not in all of Israel. This guy's not even a Jew. I'm stunned. I'm amazed. I'm marveling at this. Do you think he had Jesus' attention? Wouldn't it be great in a day of faithlessness and in a day of mediocrity and lukewarmness if God looked down in your little closet or your little spot of prayer and looked down and said, I marvel. You have real faith. You believe I can do it, don't you? See, because all the eyes of heaven will be focused on you. When you pray persistently, when you pray passionately, and when you have great faith. Luke 18 says, when the Son of Man comes, he can't even find faith on the earth. Do you really believe God is big? Can I tell you something? The devil will lie to you and tell you your problems are bigger than God's bigness. You don't understand, Pastor. My problem is so big. You don't understand how big it is. I've got this and this and this. And God's up there going, give me a break. I'm God. I created the, I said, let there be light, and all the universe is created. You think your problem's that big that I can't handle it? Oh, but you don't know the debt I'm in. I pave streets with gold. You don't understand how messed up this person is. I made an apostle out of a Christian murderer. I wrote scripture through Nebuchadnezzar. I took a murdered adulterer and wrote most of the Psalms named David. I'm bigger than that. But he says in Luke 18, I'm teaching to pray. But it might not have people who have enough faith to really pray passionately and pray believingly and pray persistently to keep on praying. They believe that, oh, I guess God's not hearing my prayers. It's an interesting thing here that he impressed God. Jesus marveled at him. Faith and prayer go hand in hand. Our memory verse, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The verse before that says, a prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now listen, here's what the devil's going to tell you now at this point. He already told you your problem's too big. Now he's going to tell you, well, you're not the kind of person who God's going to hear his prayers. Except for Jesus already dealt with that. Who were the ones who had these giant prayers that got God's attention? A centurion, a Roman soldier who was a Gentile who was there oppressing the Jews. Not real worthy. A widow, not a preacher, a widow. She's going to teach you the lesson. A woman who couldn't have a child, just a woman, who nobody knew, wasn't of any royal heritage, wasn't anything else, just a woman who had a child. Common people, just average people. Yet Jesus says, I use them and I answer their prayer. But someone's got to get my attention. In other words, God's up in heaven. I heard that, 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 I heard. Wow. You're praying passionately. You really want that. I gave you that heart and you're using it and you're really praying. Let's see if you keep on praying. That one over there, they believe I can do it. I can't believe it. In a day when they, man, they got a big problem, but the angels, they believe I can do that. Still praying over here? Yeah, you're still praying. Good, good. Keep on going. I'm going to do something big if you keep on praying for about another 2 years. That one's praying down there. You still praying over here? Ah. Oh. They quit praying. It's not going to happen now. Anyway, is there somebody else who's really praying passionately? Somebody else who's persistently praying? Somebody else who really believes I'm God and I'm big and I'm powerful? See, these three things get God's attention. And in Luke 18, he tells us how to really pray. I don't want to be one of the millions who just play in prayer. There's too much to do. There's too great a need out there. The heart of God is wanting to bring revival and save souls and do great things, and you're part of that. God's got something big for you to do in prayer, but you better pray persistently and get his attention. You better pray passionately, and you better have faith if you really want God to really notice you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word. Lord, one parable, you teach us these three things about prayer in Luke 18. Then we see it paralleled all over the scripture in different stories. But you teach us all three of these things about prayer. And Lord, this is how we get your attention. In one parable. And Jesus spake a certain parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And Lord, I don't want to always talk about how people used to pray 200 years ago. How they used to pray 100 years ago. How that Martin Luther used to pray. And how that John Wesley used to pray. And how John Calvin used to pray. And how praying Hyde used to pray. And how John R. Rice used to pray. Lord, we need a generation of prayers now. We're facing a lot more darkness than they are. And yet, Lord, the devil has somehow got us off of prayer. And churches spend a lot of time and effort on things. And Christians spend a lot of effort and time and energy and mind and thought on things. And Lord, I don't think a lot of people have your ear or just playing in prayer. I pray, Lord, that we would get some people with passion in prayer and persistence in prayer and faith in prayer. And you'd marvel and pay attention and begin to do the work that you want to do, Father, because I know it's really you who want to do the great things. You have the heart for the whole world. Lord, use us and make us the kind of Christians we ought to be. That all of our heart, Christians, with all of our might, all of our strength, please, Lord, get us back to real prayer and real faith and seeing nations move and neighborhoods transformed and families brought back to you and people delivered from the power of darkness to light. Please, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.